Stand with me, if you would, in reverence to the Scripture, and we'll read the first 11 verses. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and of love and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. Lord, I pray to have that freshness in our heart. Lord, concerning the Word of God. Lord, concerning salvation and just the many things in the spiritual realm. Lord, I pray you'll forgive us, Lord, for taking you for granted, and Lord, for having wrong motives for asking you to show up in our services. Lord, we want you to not be an ornament, a decoration, Lord, just a little add-on. Lord, we're wanting you to have the preeminence. We want you to have center stage, to take over. Lord, we want, dear Lord, that you be the hub around which everything of this ministry rotates and points to. May your will be done, Lord. And Lord, give us liberty and clarity of thought as we endeavor to preach, Lord, today. And we'll give you thanks for it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We've been dealing with, two or three messages on the subject of second coming spirituality. Second coming spirituality. And this is just one of many passages that attaches your spiritual life to the second coming of the Lord. And with that said, I believe it's very clear in the Scripture that the second coming of the Lord should have an influence on you and me. The second coming of the Lord should have a strong influence on our actions, our reactions, our choices, our desire, direction, so on and so forth. When you find a person that claims to be saved and they're unfaithful to the things of God and carnal in their life and practice, you can count on it. That person thinks little of the coming of the Lord. Thinks little of the coming of the Lord. In fact, let me just give you this verse. I wasn't planning on using it this morning. 1 John chapter number 3. I'll read it in your hearing. If you'd like to turn, you can. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Without question, that's referring to the coming of the Lord. Look at verse 3. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. It's so clear in that verse, and that's one of several verses that really shows the second coming of the Lord having practical influence in your life. Amen. If you really are living in the light of the coming of Christ, The Bible said that if you have that hope in you, and that's, I believe, key right there. Do you have that hope in you? Amen. Oh, that's key. Amen. But he said, if you do, then the Bible said, as a result, purify yourself. Because you don't want to live a half-hearted, cold, apathetic, pathetic life for the Lord and meet Him. I read this yesterday or last night or this morning or something. I read this, and I never thought about this, but this is good. Said these words that it's one thing to be ready to go to heaven, but it's quite another to be ready to meet Jesus. Well, you think about that. Salvation will make you ready for heaven. Real, true, biblical salvation will make you ready for heaven. But are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you ready to stand before the Lord? Are you ready for the bema seat or the judgment seat of Christ? That doesn't come out of your salvation. Salvation takes you to heaven, makes you ready for heaven, makes heaven your destiny and your home. Now, I want to tell you, the bema seat, buddy, is not a judgment of salvation. The judgment seat of Christ is not a judgment of salvation. Amen. It's not going to be brought up, are you saved or not? That's determined now. That's determined here. In fact, if you're not saved, you won't even be there. You're going to miss out on heaven. You're going to miss out on everything spiritual and divine and holy and heavenly. You're going to miss out. So that got big to me. I hope that lodges deep in your heart and mind first you ought to ask yourself this morning and let the Bible settle it. Let the Spirit of God and the Scriptures, the twofold, really the only two sources of assurance, the Spirit of God and the Scriptures, and they're always in agreement. They never contradict. You ought to let that settle it this morning. Am I ready for heaven? Amen. Now, if you went around and asked, you could ask about anybody, do you want to go to heaven? Oh, yeah. But did you know that if a lost person went to heaven, they would be the most miserable person ever? Why? Because they have nothing in common. They have not the nature of God. They have no love for the things of God. Everything there is holy. Nothing there is worldly. Nothing there is earthly. Amen. Everything there, all of the singing, all of the activities, everything is holy. And about Him, a lost person can't stand that. Amen. But only saved people's going. So you ought to ask yourself the question, am I ready for heaven? Am I ready for heaven? Amen. And you can't be saved and there not be evidence of it. And you're to make it your business, because your salvation is your business. You're to make it your business to make sure that the Scripture confirms your salvation. Make sure that the Word of God gives an amen to your profession of faith. Oh yeah, John 5:39, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, for they are they that testify of me, Jesus said. Jesus said, the Word of God bears witness with me in your life. If you've been born again, the Scriptures not only produces it, but the Scriptures will prove it. Amen. But we've been dealing with, or trying to deal with, second coming spirituality. And this chapter is filled with various admonitions to save people. And they're all given in light of the coming of the Lord. Amen. This will be way on down the way whenever the Lord lets us get to it. But I wonder how many of us is practicing verse 16. That's in light of the coming of the Lord. Rejoice evermore. I wonder how many of us are doing that. Carnality will kill that. Expectancy of the Lord Jesus coming will stir that and encourage that. And we'll be people that rejoices in the Lord evermore. But we're back in chapter 5, and we started last weekend. I can't remember if it was Sunday morning, I guess it was, or Sunday night, that we preached out of this passage. And verse 1 through 11 really magnifies this right here. And we're dealing with these various admonitions individually now. We're starting to look at them individually. And verse 1 through 11, I thought about dividing that into some other emphasis, but I see that it's really one emphasis. Verse 1 through 11 really is magnifying this truth right here, and that is the second coming of Christ should stir the spirituality of separation in your life. It ought to stir the spirituality of separation in your life. And it's so clear, as if you can read this when you get home, but it's so clear in this passage that the Apostle Paul is addressing two different groups of people. He starts out and he identifies the brethren. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Again, he calls them brethren in verse 12. Again, in verse 14. Again, in verse 25. He calls them brethren. That's people, that's family talk. That's people that are all inclusive in that term. Brethren is those that are saved by the grace of God. Those that are saved. Men, women, boys, and girls that have been born again are in that group. He said, but then in verse number 2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And I went through and circled these this morning, but there are several personal pronouns down through here, ye and you and yourselves. I assume that's a personal pronoun. I'm not an English teacher. But the us is mentioned several times, us, ye, you. But then in verse number 3, he's referring to they. He's referring to they twice in verse number 3. Verse number 7, he's referring to they twice, again in verse number 7. And then he comes back again in verse 8 to, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. So he's bringing a distinction here. He's bringing about a separation that the second coming of Christ ought to stir in the believer's life. Amen. And so we started dealing with that in our last message on that, and you'll just have to get the tape to know all that we covered in that message. We looked at some other scriptures that really, really drives home about the importance, how important it is for us to be separated as believers. And I know that's not important to a lot of people because I believe that they've just not heard Bible preaching on it. And I don't want to be just one that rips and rips it up and blows worldliness out of the water. And just I want to give you some Bible. I want you to be able to say, well, you know what? Separation and sanctification are inseparable, and they are to be a part of our life as believers. Well, anyway, as we look down through these verses 1 through 11, I notice that there are the distinction or the separation, and it's described in about 5 or 6 different ways down through here. And the first one, and I may not get past this one, because this really is a burden on my heart to deal with this one. And that's just simply that there is a separation in verse 1 through 11 between the saved and the lost. I mean, that's elementary right there. But how should there not be a distinction between the two? Between the saved and the lost. The Lord makes the distinction through the Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He comes in with the contrast, verse number 4. He says, but ye, brethren, showing a distinction to verse 2 or verse 3. But ye, brethren, are not in the darkness, and that day should overtake you as a thief. And he magnified our position and our practice. But then he comes back in verse 7 and talks about they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day, so he's showing distinction here and between the saved and the lost. Boy, the devil don't want that. The devil wants you to blend. The devil wants that blending. And you can see that through the scripture where there's an effort on the enemy's part to blend. Put God's people and let them intermingle. And you know, let them intermingle with people of other nations and races. And put, let them mingle together. Don't be distinct. Don't be identified as the people of God. And so the first one I just want to magnify here and say a few things about and try to give an illustration of if the Lord will help me with that. And that is simply there is a separation between the saved and the lost. And I pointed this out maybe last time we were in this passage, or in this message, verse 16 and 17 of chapter 4 shows us very plainly that there's coming a day when there's going to be an eternal separation between the saved and the lost. I want you to get that. If you're here tonight, or this morning, and you're lost without God, there's coming a day, and it could be today. It's the imminent return of the Lord. It's the imminent return of the Lord, which simply means it's ready to happen right now. It's ready. It could happen before I get through preaching this morning, the coming of the Lord. But verse 16 and 17 magnifies that there's coming a day. Listen, if you're here lost, listen up. Or if you're here saved, listen up. Amen. That covers all of us. Listen, but there's a day coming when there's going to be an eternal separation. Amen. The Lord Himself's going to descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever. Who's we? We that's been raptured. We that's been harpooned out of here. Amen. Oh yes, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Verse 16 and 17 literally rips up the false teaching of a general resurrection and a general judgment, because the ones that Jesus is coming to get in verse 16 and 17 of chapter 4, He said, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And lost people's not going to be ever with the Lord. But I pointed that out. And then in verse chapter 5, he magnifies that there should be an earthly separation. We know there's an eternal separation coming. Does that gain any weight with you here that is lost? That means family circles could be broken. That means, Brother Randy, that saved mamas and daddies and lost children will be permanently and eternally separated forever. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine that. A saved spouse and a lost spouse married, if Jesus comes or the lost one dies in that condition, there will be a permanent and an eternal separation right there between the two. Well, I can't imagine that. Parents, could you even fathom the thought of a child dying lost without God? Can we even comprehend a mother or a father dying lost without God? I've preached funerals, lots of funerals in my ministry, but one thing I never had to do was preach my own mom and daddy's funeral as a lost person. I did preach both of their funerals, and God gave us grace, but oh, the hope and the assurance that was in my heart from the Word of God and from their life that I witnessed on a daily basis, year after year, that they in fact knew the Lord, and there was a witness of God upon their life that they were saved and born again. I'll see them again, Brother Carroll. And many of you like that, you've got lost. You've got family that's already died and gone on, mamas and daddies and grandparents, and hey, man, some of you may even have some children over there already. Are you listening? So I want all of you in here that's lost to know, and I want you to think, and I want it to haunt you. I want it to haunt you. I don't want you to just here and just pass on off. I want it to get a hold of you to where when you eat after a while, it's on your mind. When you go home, it's on your mind. And when you try to take a nap or play or whatever you want to do this evening, that it'll be on your mind. You can't shake it. And that is, I'm lost and I'm one heartbeat away from hell. I'm one breath away from eternity without Christ. And I have saved people in my family and there are others that are lost. There's an eternal separation coming. Yes, sir. And I know maybe that shouldn't be the main motive for you getting saved, but that ought to be a motive. Amen. My goodness, I can't get off of that. In Luke 16, Brother Aaron, Jesus, and you can write that down and play it off and make light of it and call it a parable, but it is not a parable. Of the rich man and Lazarus, and I'm going to have time to go into telling you, teaching you as to why that is not a parable. But even if it was a parable, it still don't change nothing. It don't play it down. In fact, Jesus used parables to if I could use the word, exaggerate spiritual things. Amen? Or to make them bigger than, to show you the bigness of them. But it's not a parable. He uses real people's names. Real references there. And here's the thing. Those that die lost without God, they're going to have family members here on earth. And you know what that rich man, he begged. He first wanted out himself. But when he discovered that he could not ever get out, that hell was permanent, that he couldn't get across the gulf. You know, the paradise used to be in the heart of the earth as well. It's not now. It's in, amen, Paul was caught up and into the paradise of God. But when the rich man realized he couldn't get out, then he started giving a prayer request. Send somebody. Send somebody to my five brethren. I've got five brothers. Amen. Send them. Send somebody there and tell them, listen, I'm talking about family now. You'd think they'd want to be together, but there is people in hell that never wants to see their family ever again. Why? Because they don't want you to come to that awful place. Go tell my brethren, lest they come to this awful place. That's how bad hell is. That's how terrible. That's how bad hell is. Amen. Mothers don't even want to see their children. Mothers that are lost, that are in hell, don't ever want to see their children again. Because they want their children to get saved and go to heaven. Amen. Husband and wives, amen, that death separated them and one was saved and one was lost. You know what? The one that's in hell don't ever want to see the saved one again. Why? Or see the other one again. Well, because of the, they don't want you to come to hell. They don't want you to come there, amen. But there's an eternal separation taking place here. Oh my, I hope you get that. Amen. When Jesus comes now, He's coming after, in verse 16, 17, He's coming after those that are dead in Christ. They died with their faith in the Lord. Amen. Their name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then He said He's also, they're going to get about a 6-foot head start on us because they're 6-foot deep, further away from God than we are. And so they're going to rise first. And then the Bible said, then we which are alive and remain, Paul putting himself in that group, we which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Oh, I'm glad I'm saved today. I'm glad I'm saved today. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Listen, I know Jesus is the main theme of heaven, but God would have to give us grace. Somehow or another, God would have to give us grace. If we get to heaven and we look around and some of our loved ones are not there, some of our family's not there, oh, Lord, God will have to deal with, God will have to, I believe that's what He's talking about when He said He'll take away, wipe away our tears. He'll take away all of our tears. Because you know we couldn't hardly enjoy heaven knowing that we've got family that didn't make it. Oh, my goodness. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Boy, that's big, isn't it? That's big. Oh, lost people's playing games. Saved people's playing games with their spiritual life. But buddy, everything's weighing in the balances and everything's crucial. And our earthly separation that's being talked about in chapter 5 is very important. And let me say that it's not important for me to go to heaven on. I'm not going to heaven off of a separated life. I'm not going to heaven off of any sanctification on my part. I'm going to heaven because I accepted Jesus as my Savior. Well, then what's separation for? One, it is to project to the world that you're changed, that you've been changed. You didn't change yourself. You've been changed. And you can give the credit to the Lord. Amen. In other words, a person that's really born again may not live the separated life that maybe is required of them in the Scripture, but that doesn't prevent them from going to heaven. It may prevent others from going. Because God wants you to influence other people. Amen. Well, anyway, I want to deal with this if I could. There's only two groups talked about in chapter 5, 1 through 11. And of course, it's saved and the unsaved. Or if you want to write it down this way, there's the leaving crowd, and then there's the left behind crowd. The leaving crowd, that's those of us that are saved, and then there's the left behind crowd. And I know there's big movie series out on Left Behind, and it talks about that. I've been told, I've not watched any of them, but they tell me that they really promote second chances, that even if you miss the rapture, miss the coming of the Lord, that you can get saved in the tribulation period. That's not true. There'll be people saved in the tribulation period, but it won't be anybody that's ever heard the gospel. If you've heard the gospel, amen, you've heard enough in this service right here this morning to hold you accountable. If you've heard the gospel, And listen, you die lost without God, or Jesus comes before you get saved, you'll be left here, friend, and you'll never, ever have an opportunity to be saved. I believe 2 Thessalonians is very clear on that. Chapter 2, he'll send strong delusions to you, amen, that you'll believe a lie. You'll believe a lie. And you know the purpose of that? And that you may be damned. God will send you strong delusions. Amen. Some of you look like you may not believe that. I'm going to read it to you. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. In other words, you heard it, you had an opportunity to get saved, but you received it not. And for this cause, verse 11, God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. What about that? Listen, you better get in while the getting's good. I want to use several of you, if I could, get some of you... Kara, you three right there. Ben, you come. Kyle, Lily, come. A couple of you. Elizabeth, you want to come? I want y'all just together right here. How many we got? 2, 4, 6, 7. You want to be in this? You don't have to sing too loud. No, I'm just kidding. Y'all don't have to say nothing. I just want to use you as illustration. Okay, that ought to be enough right now. Y'all just kindly group up right here together, okay? That's good. Now before salvation comes, we're all grouped together. There's no distinction, there's no separation between saved and lost. We're all in the same group, all in the same class. Amen? Romans 3:10, for there's none that doeth good, no, not one. There's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So there was... Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. All of us at one point was grouped together in one classification as a sinner, as lost people, as unbelievers. Y'all see that? No separation, no distinction. Everybody in that group's lost for illustration purposes. All right? One by one, the Holy Spirit begins to deal. One by one, He begins to take the preached Word of God, and He begins to speak, and He begins to put them under conviction. And they say yes to the Lord Jesus. And amen. Hallelujah. And to be a part of the church, the word church, ecclesia, means the called out. A called out assembly. And when a person gets saved, God takes them and separates them from identifying and being classified with lost people. Now they're saved, amen. Now they know the Lord as their personal Savior. One by one, the Lord begins, down through generations of time, begins to speak. And He allows the gospel to come in contact with being here. And the Word of God begins to prick his heart. And the Holy Spirit turns the light on and shows him that this right here is not the way. This is the broad road that leads to destruction. If you continue in this group, hell will be your home forever. And one by one, God begins to work, and they say yes to the Lord, and they get saved by the grace of God. Oh my. One by one, the Lord begins to work. Amen. I still remember the Lord dealing with this one. Amen. The Lord begins to, same as I said of them, amen, gets personal and begins to speak. And they said yes somewhere along the way. They bow their heart and their knee before God and say, yes, Lord, I want to be saved. And one by one, God in salvation separates them to be a whole nother identification, a whole nother classification. Don't ever expect this. It's not in the Bible. Don't ever expect this. For God to work and save you and then leave you in this group. Okay, you're saved. You know, just stay right here. Continue to live like lost people lives and continue to have the same desires and go in the same direction and have the same habits and have the same appearance and, amen, just dress like lost people and listen to the same music lost people listens to and go to the same place. But you're saved, but you just kind of stay blended in. No, no. God, one by one, when they get saved, He takes them out of that classification. He takes them out of that identification and He separates them, hallelujah, in salvation, a called out assembly, a called out group. Amen. And salvation and sanctification are inseparable. When God saves you, He begins to work in your heart, sanctification. And that sanctification just simply means to be set apart. To be set apart. Amen. Amen. For God's purpose and glory. So not only were they getting saved, amen, and God putting them over in the saved crowd on the narrow road that leads to life eternal, but God has separated them. Now listen carefully. It's not that this group right here is better than that group right there. I want to make that very clear. It's not that this group right here is holier than thou and, amen, you know, can strut around like a turkey or a peacock, amen, and look over at this crowd here and say, yeah, I'm glad I'm not as other men are. Let me just help us all to see this morning. If it hadn't have been for God, if it hadn't have been for grace, if it hadn't have been for God getting personal with you, amen, so undeservingly, and dealing with you, and you saying yes to God, you would have never been in this crowd. You'd have still been over there. We ought to say today, to God be the glory. The grace of God is what makes the difference. I'd still be lost if it wasn't for Him. I'd still be wicked if it wasn't for Him. So if you're in this crowd right here, you're to thank God. You're to thank God, amen. And I bless the Lord for that, amen. I do. Amen. But now is it just a positional truth that these that are saved are not classified as lost people anymore? Is it just a positional thing? Or is it that when these four right here that once was over here with this wicked crowd, when these four was over here with these sinners, amen, they did as they did. Amen, there were similarities. Well, listen, all of us know that when we got saved, have you had that experience yet where God dealt with you and you can remember the day that God spoke to you and amen, called you and you said yes to the Lord and you saw God, amen, in your life take you from the broad road and from the list of sinners, amen, and from the condemnation of the lost and put you over with the believers? You remember that? Have you ever? Can you witness with that? Boy, it's real to me, very real, very real to me. But all of us can testify now, I once was in this crowd right here. Oh yeah, I was. And when I got saved, listen now, when I got saved, God took me over to this crowd. But I sure had a whole lot, and still do, some rough edges. There were still some similarities in my life to that crowd. Some of my old practices, different things, you know. And so what God begins to do now that He's getting you in this crowd, He begins to work on your practice. He begins to work on your behavior. He begins to work on your thoughts and your heart and your affection and your choices and your desires. Amen. Because He's not just content. Come on now. He's not just content that you're no longer in this group, but that you're over here. Now this group's going to heaven. That salvation makes you ready for heaven, amen? But are they ready at that point to stand before Jesus? Probably not. I'm talking about stand before Him in the judgment seat and stand before Him as judge, amen? And so the Lord begins through the preaching of the Word of God, the printed page of the Word of God, the pricking of the Holy Spirit, the conforming ministry of the Holy Spirit, He begins to work. And He put His finger on things in your life. Everybody listen, He begins to put finger on some things in your life. You know, now that you're over here and you're not over there, don't be built up in pride, because it was God and grace that made the difference. And always magnify that if it hadn't have been for God and grace, I'd still be lost without God. Amen. And let us never look at that crowd over there like they're nothing and we're something, because that's far from the truth. I am what I am by the grace of God, Paul said. But God begins to put His finger on things in your life, Brother Mark. He begins to deal with you. Now this right here, now that's, you need to deal with that. You need to get rid of this and you need to get rid of that. Why? Because it links you in appearance to that other crowd. Amen. The law, even what is it, chapter 5, you still got your Bible right open, 1 Thessalonians 5, which one's abstain from appearance of evil? 22? 22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Well, I can't wait to deal with that one. In fact, that's the one that even got me in this whole chapter to start with, is that one verse. I can't wait to get there. And I wanted to just deal with it, but God said, you can't deal with that. Just right jump in the pool and deal with that. You got to start back up here and deal with all this other stuff. Amen. But God begins to put His finger on things in your life and say, now you need to change this, because there's an appearance connection with the lost and you need to be different. Amen. Now that's what the devil fights in your life. Because I tell you what he wants out of Ukiah. He wants him to, the devil don't, he didn't want him to get saved to start with. He don't want you to get saved, amen. He'll fight that. He wants you to go to hell with him. That's the devil's motive. He wants to take everybody to hell with him he can. But if he didn't stop, he couldn't stop Kiah from getting saved, okay? So Kiah got saved. And Kiah's just kind of, you know, he's just kind of back and forth, kind of in the middle ground here. He's over here on Sunday morning. Oh, Lord, Preacher Rackley is about to preach. He's over here on Sunday morning, you know, and he's over here when mama's looking. Say amen, sis. He's over here when daddy's looking. He's over here, amen, when sissy's looking. You do notice that she's still over there, right? Okay. You know she needs to get saved. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, back to seriousness. But if Kiah is not careful, he'll, on Monday when it's school time or or when it's time to be around others that are lost, it'll be easy for him to dip his colors, and though he's still saved, and come back around and start to blend in with this crowd and, you know, kind of talk their talk and walk their walk and act their act, amen, and listen to their music and don't ever say nothing about Jesus and salvation and don't give them a gospel track and just blend in. But then when it's church time or a preacher comes around, then it's time, or youth camp comes around, it's time to come back over here. Now, I'm going to tell you, friend, that right there is bondage. Having to always adjust where you're, what you're going to be depending on what crowd you're around. That, brother, is wicked. Amen. Our appreciation, Brother Carroll, ought to be this. God, thank you that you saved me. And because of that, I can never repay you, but I sure do want to honor you, Lord. And I want to identify with the body of believers. I want to identify with the church, the called out assembly. Lord, I want to identify that in looks. I want to identify with you, Lord, in practice, with my conversation, how I talk, things I say, places I go, everything. Amen. I want everything to identify me with the church, with believers, with salvation. Amen. So the first thing, y'all can be seated. I could preach that illustration on and on. I still see some more stuff in that. But there's that first element of separation in this passage that puts a distinction between the two. Amen. Shame, listen, if I'd still had them standing up here and Kaya was back over here, you know, he's saved. He's been over there, he's saved, and you know, but these Kylie in the middle, straddling the fence, back and forth. But he's back over here a lot, you know, hanging around this crowd a lot. And you need to try to be, listen, God's not in isolation, but he is in separation. God doesn't want you to turn your back on this crowd, amen, and go over here with the believers and just absolutely turn your back on that crowd. Why? Because you know the truth. You know how it is, what it takes to be saved. And you need to be, if you do get around this crowd right here, make sure it's for the purpose of trying to be a witness, amen. Oh yeah, that's right. And if you're not careful, though, you'll blend in. Let me ask you something. If Kai got saved and he spends a lot of time back over here and there's no distinction, I wonder how many, I'm asking you to think about it, how many of them would he win to the Lord? Because Lily and the others right in here, this other group, would look at Kai and they'd say, well, you know, he says he's saved, but he's over here with us. He says he's saved, but, you know, he's listening to our music. He goes to the dances with us, and he goes and he does this and that, and he dresses like us, and probably could throw out some other things that he does like us. Let me ask you something. How many will he win to Christ? Let me help you with the answer. Zilch. Zero. Amen. Amen. But as those that are lost observes those of us that are saved and they see God and the change that has been wrought in our life, amen. There, you know what? Listen, hey, come on now. I wish I left them stepping up here. This crowd right here is miserable. This crowd right here is not satisfied with the world. They're not satisfied. They do this and do that and they're after the pleasures of this life. But Brother J.R., they're miserable. They met him, he drinking, amen, and smoking dope and popping pills, but they're empty. They're empty. They're miserable. What they need to do, Brother Jason, is to look at those that are saved and say, you know what? I see a difference. I see a difference. You've got to be different in order to make a difference. Amen. And while that crowd's listening to this crowd testify, I just want to thank God that I'm saved. I'm glad that Jesus satisfies the longings of my soul. I'm glad I've got peace which passeth all understanding. I'm glad I've got joy unspeakable and full of glory. Thank God for the change that he's wrought in my life. Glad to be a part of the church. I'm glad I'm going to heaven. That crowd's listening. They're miserable. They're empty. You know what they're thinking? Amen. You know what some of them will do? They'll just say, that bunch of old fuddy-duds over there, amen. They just over there because they couldn't really get with us. There'll be some that'll mock and make fun, but there'll be one every now and then that'll look over there and say, you know what? I can't sleep at night. My life is full of sin and it's a wreck. And they're over there talking about peace, and they're over there talking about joy of serving God and having their sins forgiven. That's what I need. That's what I want. I'm going to say it very clear and plain. Separation is absolutely important if you're going to have an influence on sinners. Amen. And I'm not talking about a pharisaical separation. I'm not talking about strutting around and, you know, put your thumbs under your lapel and act like you something, you know. Hey, that's not what I'm talking about. That's a turnoff to that crowd. Pride is repulsive. Don't ever forget that. God hates it and sinners hates it. Amen. Amen. Always be reminded that you'd still be there if it wasn't for God. Amen. Separation's important to show the distinction between the two. Amen. We're separated because of for our testimony's sake. We're separated for a witness to those that are lost. Because if they don't see no difference in you, you know what? They have no confidence in you. Did y'all hear that? I mean, that's so plain. If they don't see a difference, then they're not going to have any confidence. And I'll say this. I know there's times that you may, just in passing, a rank stranger, total stranger you've never seen before in your life, God impresses you to give them a gospel tract or something. There's occasions that you'll be able to win somebody the Lord that you've never met. But generally, if they don't know you and don't have confidence in you, you'll not be able to touch their life. Amen. And if they see you talking their talk and living the way they're living, amen, I'm talking about across the board, outward and inward, they're not going to have any confidence in you. And then when you start talking about being saved, they're going to say, saved? Saved from what? What are you saved from? You're still right in here with us. You still dress like us, talk like us, you go the same places, you have the same desires. What do you mean saved? What are you saved from? Amen. So may God help us with that. That's simple. That's simple, but I believe God put that on my heart, that illustration for this morning's message, for this morning's service. Amen. And the Lord willing, if the Lord leads us back, and I know He will, but I don't know. Brother Jones is preaching tonight, but our next time, we're going to start back in chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, and we're going to show a distinction here between, there's a separation between knowledge and ignorance. God's people are people that knows. He said, brethren, you don't need for me to write unto you concerning the times and the seasons. He said, you don't need that. But now that crowd that's lost, He said, they're going to be in for a rude awakening. They're going to be surprised. They're going to be shocked at when Jesus comes, what happens in the future. Amen. But we don't. We're people that knows. So there's a separation, Brother Mark, right there between knowledge and ignorance, not knowing. Amen. We'll look at that, and there's about four or five others right down through verse 1 through 11. Let's all stand on our feet. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name, Lord, to the throne of grace. And Lord, I've tried my best to mind you this morning. And Lord, you put it in my heart, Lord, to go in this direction and give that illustration, a visual, just a visual of what it means to be saved, a visual, Lord, that and it ought to be visible, Lord, that you have saved us. It ought to be visible, Lord, that we're no longer listed and classified with those that are lost without God. It's not that we're holier than they are. It's not that we're better than they are. It's not that at all. It's just the fact that you saved us, Lord, and you changed our desires. You changed our nature. Or rather, you give us your nature, your divine nature. And Lord, we just don't love what they love no more. We just don't have those things in common anymore. Now we're identified with the believers. Now we're identified with Christ, the head of the body. And Lord, I pray that God, you'll drive home the importance of second coming spirituality, the spirituality of separation. Lord, there's some folk in this building. Lord, they've heard me preach it for years. And Lord, they still, Father, lacking that practice thereof in their life. But I hope that visual illustration showed them what the Lord in fact did in their life when He saved them. How He called them out, took them out. Lord, Galatians even illustrates it by the fact that you tore us out, plucked us out, Lord, from being lost, being in that crowd that's condemned, headed for hell, Lord, apart from grace and salvation. And Lord, I just ask you, God, to drive that home here today. Lord, I felt your spirit strong, Lord, when we were dealing with the family circle being broken and loved ones, families being broken, people saved, going to heaven, people lost, being left here, hopeless, forever, lost, without God. Lord, I felt your spirit strong in that point. Lord, I pray you'll drive that home, Lord. God, that people would check up and that see if they really in fact know you as their Savior. If there's Bible evidence of the fact. If there's a changed life, Lord, a changed heart, changed direction in their life. If there's no change, there's no conversion. And Lord, I pray you'll help them to get honest with themselves, not hang on to a wish it might be, could be, hope so. And Lord, that don't get it. Lord, help them. It's either a yes or no. I'm saved or not. And Lord, I pray, dear Father, you'd help people today to do business with you about that matter. And then, Lord, once you save us, God, you mean to work in our hearts and lives, sanctification and separation, inwardly and outwardly. Lord, you mean that. Lord, the Holy Spirit is, that's a part of his ministry to do that. Lord Jesus, you prayed for us in your high priestly prayer in John 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And Lord, you desire to bring about a distinction, a separation in our life for the purpose, Lord, of being a witness to lost people and reflecting, dear God, a changed life which results in giving you glory. Father, I pray that people will be responsible, Lord, to look in their life and see those un-Christ-like areas. Lord, those unchristian areas. And Lord, to deal with them. Give them up. Change them. Lay it aside. Cast it aside. Things, Lord, that's holding them back as a believer. Holding them back and keeping them kindly in that blend in the middle stage. In the middle of the road. Straddling the fence. Show them, Lord, that they're doing damage. They're doing damage in that middle ground to sinners. Because sinners will have no confidence in them. But they're also doing damage to the church because they're really not a help to the church. The church really can't depend on them because they're in and out, on and off, wishy-washy so much. God help us all to realize, Lord, how close we are to the coming of the Lord and Lord, how that should stir within us, Lord, scriptural and biblical, spiritual separation, Lord, from the world and from the flesh. Lord, I pray you'll drive that home in this invitation in Jesus' name.